this morning. I'm glad you are here. It was such a beautiful, warm day yesterday, wasn't it? And today, not so much, but it's warm in here, and it's good to see your smiling faces and to gather together to do the most important thing we'll do, not only this week, but for all eternity, and that's praise His holy name. So we're grateful that you're here. A couple of announcements. The feedback last year when we did it was so positive, and I've had several ask me, can we do it again? And there's no reason why we can't. We're going to do a Bible study each night of Holy Week, like we did last week, or last year. The only night we will not meet in the home will be Friday night when we have our tenebrae service here. But other than that, I would love for you to look at your calendars and think about it. If you would like to host an evening, we just need you to open up the door and let us in for a Bible study. We'll do that March the 25th through the 30th. So let me know if you're interested in hosting one of those. Are there any other announcements? Let's move to prayer requests. One that I found out yesterday, and it's not in the bulletin, is Ruth Harvey is having a procedure tomorrow. She'll have an oblation, and I will be going down this evening to Duke, and they don't know what time it will be tomorrow. I will keep you posted if I'm able to. If we find out after the parameters of the robocall time, just keep her in prayer tomorrow, and I'll keep you posted after it's done. So let's keep Ruth and Glenn in our prayers. Any other items for prayer? Yes, Carrie.
I don't know if any of you probably saw in the news that Chris Tucker was brought from Richmond to the hospital here in Bedford. We have him on the prayer list with cancer. Also, continue to pray for Tiffany. They found a spot on her brain, and she's starting radiation, and she's having a lot of trouble looking at her phone and all that stuff. But she had a good day one day this week. Yesterday, I talked to her, and her daughter said that she's still struggling. So once she gets past this, she'll start the pills she needs to take for the cancer.
So let's keep Chris in our prayers, and let's just keep let's keep Tiffany in our prayers, and her partner Hank,
yes, Hank,
who also has cancer. So let's just keep them in prayer. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Judy's stepmother had a stroke yesterday, and I think it's just about the end. She was on hospice, then it elected not to, but I think this is closing in on the end.
What's her first name?
I forget.
Okay, Judy's stepmother. All right, let's keep her. Is she up in Culpeper?
No, she's from Rustburg.
Oh, good, okay.
Yeah.
Let's keep Judy's stepmom in our prayers as she's had a stroke. They are out of town, but I also want us to keep the Brills' dog, Maggie, in our prayers. I had a house set for them when they were gone because Maggie's in such a condition, and it's just so sad. And they'll probably, maybe even this week, have to make a very difficult decision. And it was a year ago they lost their other dog, Major, so let's just keep the Brills in our prayers. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you that in the difficulties of life, your presence does not in any way waver or change. And all good gifts come from above, and no person, no circumstance, no situation can thwart your good will. And we just trust you, even when we find it difficult to do so. May those who are just bombarded with problems and probably wonder sometimes where you are, may they know that they have good company, that the psalmist, that all Christians, and even our Savior in the garden, can be brought by the difficulties of life to a point of saying, we really would like to see you work in a different way. But nevertheless, not our will, but yours be done. And may we trust you in the darkness, for you are the God of all light. I pray that in particular for the ones we've mentioned, be with Ruth tomorrow when she has her surgery procedure. May it go well. Comfort Glenn. Just be with the two of them. Draw close to them. Show your love. Be with Chris. Be with Tiffany and Hank. Be with Judy's stepmom. Be with Maggie and the Brills. Be with the person or circumstance that comes to mind at this time. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your promise that when we are gathered in your name, you will meet us. And what we need above all things is to be joined together in your holy presence. And we pray through your name. Amen. We do gather in that name, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, forgive our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you look with me to the insert, we'll use a portion of Psalm 19, and then we'll stand and sing our opening hymn. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork.
One day the heavens will stand to another, and one night the heart is lodged to another.
Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard,
if their sound is gone up into all the lands, and their message is given to the world.
In the deep he has set a pavilion for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course.
It goes forth in the firmament of the edge of the heavens, and runs about to the end of the beginning. Now let me see if it's not the beginning.
The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the innocent.
The statutes of the Lord are just as you told us of our hearts.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More than the desire of the gold, more than the sorrow of gold, sweeter the heart than honey, than honey in the comb.
Yeah. lesson was from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember this Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O God.
Thank you.
God, consider the worthy desires of your humble servants. Reach out to defend us from evil by the word and work of your majestic right hand. Grant this, we pray, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And as your children, we are bold to pray that prayer that the Lord has given us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
peace, we give you praise.
Amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 2, verses 13 through 25. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus on his part did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people, and he needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace, peace be unto you, our Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, from Romans 5, we looked at the qualifications of being a believer, the qualifications of receiving all the joy and goodness of the Lord, and we looked and saw that the qualifications is that we're sinners. And because of that, every one of us is equally and richly qualified. We are eminently qualified. We know our sin all too well. So because we do qualify for the goodness and grace of the Lord, I'd like this week to look at what those blessings are. And if you'll allow me to read again the first five verses of Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The word of the Lord. I want to say that there are three blessings that we see in this passage. And alliterated them, which won't surprise you. And the first one is acceptance. Our posture now, our position is we are justified. We have peace with God. Now, there are two different pieces in the scripture that main ways of speaking it. We have the peace of God and the peace with God. The peace of God is that continual, and we can have it, and sometimes we don't focus on it, but it's that continual presence of contentment of the Lord's presence. But the peace with God is that being justified, reconciled, we're no longer at war. We're no longer at war. When I first started pastoring, it was in a very rural part of, or had some members in a rural part of Campbell County, and often I was tasked, and you may have heard this, by members of my congregation to go see some family member of theirs who was sick and close to death, not a churchgoer, not one that one they had "Preacher, we want you to go and talk to Uncle Joe and see if you can get him to make his peace with God." You've heard that phrase, right? Make his peace with God. And I tried, probably not as gently as I should have, or eloquently as I should have at that time, but I wanted to communicate. Now, the truth of the matter is, you cannot make peace with God. You cannot make peace with God. I'm sorry, but that's already been done. Paul tells us in Ephesians that he made peace with us. He has already ceased the battle. His wrath is placed on Christ, and it's at the cross. He himself is our peace. He tore down any dividing wall. So that's why I would go to see Uncle Joe and not ask him to make his peace with God, but tell him the battle's already been won, and it's over, and God loves him. And peace was made for him. See, we are declared righteous. Aren't you grateful that God's acceptance of you is not based on your behavior? Aren't you grateful for that? You know, because you know the truth, don't you? You know the truth. You have a mirror. You have family. You have neighbors. You have others to tell you. You know the truth. And we're grateful. So let me ask you a question. And I forget the year. It's been maybe 20, 25 years ago now, maybe longer. But you know the running back from the University of Southern California and then played for the Buffalo Bills and then became a movie actor. His name is O.J. Simpson. You remember O.J. Simpson, right? Do you remember the trial of O.J. Simpson and his charge of murder against his former wife and boyfriend? So, is O.J. Simpson guilty? The answer is no. He's not. You say, but he did it. Everybody in the country knew it. Well, that's probably true. And he probably did do it. But guess what the judge said? He declared him not guilty. And everyone knew he was guilty. And in much the same way, God declares us not guilty, and everyone knows we are. But it's not based, our position, our acceptance by the Lord is not based on our perfect works, but upon His Son's perfect works. And because of that, we can never lose them. And because of that, our peace with God is sure and secure. You never have to worry, does God love you? You never have to worry. I think we talked about it this past men's group, but recently we talked about it, that the surest proof that God has redeemed you is that you're concerned about it. The fact that you even are concerned that you're not measuring up to the goodness and grace of God, and you're disappointed in different aspects of your behavior, that disappointment is proof positive that the Holy Spirit has made your hard heart soft, and now we're tender. Not as tender as we should be, but we pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to work that nature that was given to us by this declared righteousness of God. But we also have not only acceptance through Jesus Christ. If you look in verse 2, we have access. The whole teaching of Judaism is stay away. Don't come. Only the high priest can come. Don't touch the mountain. Stay away from. And the whole message of the gospel is those beautiful words of Jesus in Matthew 11. Come unto me. All you. And again, the only qualification is that you're tired and you're confused. Come, everyone. I want you. You have right of entry. Right of entry. Let me tell you a story. And you know, it sort of shaped me in some ways. A lot of you, most of you, knew my dad, and he could be somewhat boisterous. And years ago, I was probably 12, maybe 11 or 12. Years ago, I rode with Dad and a bunch of the guys, friends of his, on a bus up to see a Washington Redskin football game. And when we're leaving the game, I remember, and at that time, my dad had a bushy head of hair and a mustache. Well, we're walking out, and there's a guy standing by a limousine, and I promise you, this story is factual. A guy standing beside a limousine and says to my dad, "Mr. Karras," and if you remember, there was a football player who became an actor on Webster named Alex Karras, and my dad looked a lot like him. And he said, "Mr. Karras, here's your car." Well, instead of my dad saying, "That ain't me," he said, "Okay, thanks." And he gets in the back of this limousine, and I'm beside him because I had nowhere to go, and the door's shut, and I'm thinking, I'm going to jail. I mean, I don't deserve to be here. Somebody's going to come up and say, "Get out of the car." Well, they didn't, and everybody laughed. It was funny. But I've thought about that often. If we don't understand grace, I think too many people are sitting in a church pew thinking that. I don't deserve to be here. Somebody's going to come up and ask me to leave. You know, maybe I'll get in on the skin of my teeth. But I want to tell you, the good news is, and hear me correctly, because the finished work of Jesus Christ on your behalf, you have every right in the world to be sitting in the presence of God. He desires it. The only problem is when we think we've done something to earn that. Last week we talked, the only thing we do to earn it is we're sinners. We're not qualified. But because of Jesus Christ, we don't need to worry whether somebody's going to ask us to leave or we're going to do something that we're going to lose our Christian card. You can't lose it because you didn't earn it. And the one that earned it loves you more than life. And we get to sit in this car. The veil has been torn. It's not that we can enter the veil. It's gone. We need no other mediator. Wonderful picture of this is when King Charles was the Prince of Wales. I was reading in an article that he was walking up to the palace and a little boy was walking out, and Charles, this is many years ago, of course, he said to the little boy, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "Well, I tried to get into the palace because I wanted to see the king, and the guards wouldn't even respond to me. And they sent me away." And Charles said, "Come with me." And Charles takes the little boy's hands and he walks up to the palace gate, and guard stands at attention, and the little boy walks right through with Charles holding his hand, and he's escorted into the presence of the king. That's exactly like what Christ did for us. But the blessed truth is he's not holding our hand. He's carrying us. He's carrying us into the presence of the king, and we have access. And then the final thing we have is in verses 3 and 5, we have assurance. We have assurance that we stand in the Spirit. And if you notice, these three A's follow the Trinity. The Father declared us righteous and we're accepted. The Son is the one who gains access. And the Spirit is the one that gives us the assurance that we're going to stand. We are going to stand. As Christ prayed in John 10, or spoke in John 10, and then prayed in John 17, "I have not lost one." His track record is perfect. His faithfulness is 100%, and we will stand. We will stand forever. And that gives us the ability, in verse 3 we see it, to rejoice in our troubles. Because it isn't that they're fun. Life's not fun. We all know that life has a shortness and a difficulty that Job and we know. But we can rejoice in our troubles. It's not something we feel, it's something we do. We rejoice in our troubles because we know that tribulations are going to be beneficial, as we see this chain here. They produce in us good work, like coals under pressure become diamonds. And pearls are just irritants. That in time, that this ability to rejoice because we know we're not going anywhere. And the other thing we see in verse 5, it gives us the ability to rest. We can rest in our troubles. Because our well-being is not determined by how clever we are or how we can hold on. And Paul will say that in a couple chapters. And I'd like to close not with any words I have, but with the precious word that Paul tells us. You look in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And just let these words of the scripture minister to our hearts. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he to condemn? Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? In Christ, shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Covenanting God, you made this world and us to be your companions. And in Moses, you revealed to us the spirit of freedom and the freedom of your spirit. On Sinai, you showed your people how to make their freedom and walk in your spirit. You called them to be a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. In your temple, you enshrined your law and made your mercy seat, the place of your people's reconciliation with you. Then in Jesus, you came among your people as the embodiment of your law and the personification of your temple and the emblem of your freedom. His cross is the mercy seat in which you forgive our sin, and his resurrection is the new law of life with you forever. And so we gladly thank you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Righteous God, your Son said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Here we gather before you to lament the agony of that destruction and to celebrate the glory of that raising up. Come into this temple of this your body, that your people may become a temple of your presence, and that these gifts of bread and wine would be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took the bread, gave you thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave it to his disciples, saying, drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Merciful Father, in your commandments we see the simplicity and the sacrifice of our life with you and your life with us. Make us holy as you are holy. Raise up saints from this community and make us quick to recognize the saints we encounter elsewhere. Fill our hearts with prophetic zeal for your house, for your holiness, for your kingdom, and for your grace. Take out of your church the idolatries that grieve you, and fill your church with the transparency of heart that honors you, until the day when all sin is transformed by your grace, all scarcity suffused with your abundance, and all disorder healed by your mercy. And you are all in all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, even though I didn't preach on it, the passage of our gospel today, and you just heard it referred to again, I want us to appreciate how the disciples and the people would have heard Jesus when he said, if you tear this temple down. Now, we know he was talking about his body. We also know that within a generation, that temple was destroyed. But that temple represented everything that was holy and secure for the people that heard him say that. That temple, and it was the second temple, I'm not going to go into Old Testament history, but the temple had been destroyed, and this in 586 BC, and this was the second temple. And their hopes were around this temple. Remember how you felt when the Twin Towers came down? You remember the chaos, the confusion, the anger, the thinking that the whole world will never be the same again? That's what they heard when they said the temple was going to be torn down. And we gather this morning celebrating that even when those things that we considered most holy and most secure fall, out of that resurrected birth comes
And when Jesus Christ, much to the chagrin of all the disciples and his followers and his mother, saw all of their hopes and dreams nailed to a cross, aren't you grateful that we're on the other side of Easter morning? And the Holy Spirit is now made you the temple. And you come and receive truly the resurrected body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our Passover lamb. Let us keep the feast.
Thank you.
Thank you, our Father, for feeding us so richly on the sacrificial lamb of your choosing. We truly have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We thank you for your provisions. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins, the protection of our future, and your rich presence in our now. And we thank you. And we love you as you have loved us in Christ first. In his name, amen. Let us stand and sing together hymn 93, His Eyes on the Sparrow.
Thank you.
Some of us have lived long enough and have children old enough that often we're blessed by things our children say. And it's always a joy. This past week, and this is fitting for the sermon and the theme of the day, this past week I was having dinner with Emma, or last week, and she reminded me as a source of encouragement of a frightening evening in her life. She got it when she was maybe around 13 or 14. She wanted to go with the big boys to the Knights of Columbus haunted house. And she totally freaked out in the darkness and in the fear. And she was crying, she was panicking. It was dark and I said, honey, take my hand. I'm not going to let anything hurt you. And I promise you, the first exit out of this situation will take. Well, my almost 21-year-old daughter reminded me of those words and said, God's probably saying the same thing. Take my hand. I won't let anything hurt you. And I promise you, we'll take the first exit that's possible. And we trust him. Amen? Let's hear the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord. Thanks.